This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. The fact that Jesus Christ was raised to life again after his crucifixion is essential to the Christian faith. Without the resurrection of Jesus, he is merely a teacher of morality. But instead, Jesus as God raised himself up from the grave, never to die again. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. You may contact us through our website, www.visionforchristworld.com. Just click on Contact at the top of the main page. Today I will give you some selected Bible portions related to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. These are taken from three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John. Each writer told the story of the ministry and life of Jesus from three different perspectives. They all told of his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead to life eternal. First, Matthew, excerpted portions of chapters 26, 27, and 28. During the feast, the governor was accustomed to release one prisoner to the crowd, whomever they wanted. At that time, they had in custody a notorious prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. So after they had assembled, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. The governor asked them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." He asked, "Why? What wrong has he done?" But they shouted more insistently, "Crucify him." They mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the staff and struck him repeatedly on the head. When they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Now from noon until 3 p.m., darkness came over all the land. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Just then the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split apart, and tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had died were raised. They came out of the tombs after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Now when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were extremely terrified and said, "Truly, this one was the Son of God." The next day, which is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees assembled before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that while that deceiver was still alive, he said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give orders to secure the tomb until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal his body and say to the people, 'He has been raised from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "Take a guard of soldiers, go and make it as secure as you can." So they went with the soldiers of the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. Now after the Sabbath had dawned on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly there was a severe earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were shaken and became like dead men, because they were so afraid of him. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you.'" So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Now, Luke chapter 23, excerpted portions. Two other criminals were also led away to be executed with him. So when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. One of the criminals who was hanging there railed at him, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we rightly so, for we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, because the light of the sun had failed. The temple curtain was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And after he said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And now John chapter 19, excerpted portions. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged severely. The soldiers braided a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they clothed him in a purple robe. They came up to him again and again and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him repeatedly in the face. Again Pilate went out and said to the Jewish leaders, "Look, I am bringing him out to you, so that you may know that I find no reason for an accusation against him." From this point on, Pilate tried to release him. But the Jewish leaders shouted out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat down on the judgment seat in the place called the Stone Pavement, Gabbatha in Aramaic. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, about noon. Pilate said to the Jewish leaders, "Look, here is your king." They shouted out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked, "Shall I crucify your king?" The high priest replied, "We have no king but Caesar." Then Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying his own cross, he went out to the place called the Place of the Skull, called in Aramaic Golgotha, in Latin Calvarius, in English Calvary. There they crucified him along with two others, one on each side with Jesus in the middle. After this, Jesus, realizing that by this time everything was completed, said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was there, so they put a sponge soaked in sour wine on a branch of hyssop and lifted it to his mouth. When he had received the sour wine, Jesus said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And now 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul speaking. "Let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you, if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. So you see, my friends, real, true, genuine faith in Jesus, much more than a prophet, but God himself, is vital and essential to eternal life and salvation. Here is a key portion that relates to our topic in Colossians chapter 1. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, honestly, sincerely repent, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may contact us through our website at www.visionforchristworld.com. Just click on Contact at the top of the main page. As you celebrate Resurrection Sunday, which some call Easter, join me in shouting, Jesus Christ is alive and well! Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal, saving faith. I will leave you today with this Bible portion from John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written so you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When you put your trust in him, you will have life that lasts forever through his name.